Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to my podcast, Adulting, where I discuss what it means to be an adult in this day and age, or perhaps to not be an adult, as it seems that none of us really have any clue what's going on, whether you're 16, 18, 24, 35. And in this episode, I interview my mum, who is probably one of my most favourite people, which I think you'll understand why by the end of this episode. I found it really interesting to hear how she grew up and what her kind of life trajectory was, because it's so differing from what I've experienced. And in some ways, I feel it's kind of made me realise, I obviously realise how lucky I am to have a lot of the opportunities that I have, especially as a woman. But in also understanding how maybe the way that the world's changed for the better and these positive changes might actually be the crux or the reason for us finding it a bit more difficult to find our feet as an adult. I'm just going to let you go straight into this episode because I just think it's fantastic. But I might be biased because it is my mum. But I hope you enjoy it and I can't wait to hear your feedback. Here goes. Hi, mum.
Hello.
So do you want to get a bit nearer?
Okay.
Okay. So do you want to introduce yourself?
Okay, yes, my name's Olive May.
How old are you?
I'm about to be 60. No, I'm 59 and 10 months.
That's great, thanks. Okay, so obviously this podcast is called Adulting and it's all about that weird stage in your 20s or whenever when you don't really know what's going on with life.
Mm.
So obviously we've grown up in slightly different generations,
even
if we are BFFs. So when did you think you first felt like you're an adult?
Well, that's difficult because I always think now when I think back, I used to think, gosh, I think I might have been an adult when I was two. I know that sounds really silly because I have great memories, stop laughing. Actually, maybe three. I used to sweep the floor.
I don't think you did that too. You should, maybe like five.
No, I was little because I only had the one brother and I now have three brothers at the time. Obviously, the other two were not born. So, yes, when I was very young. And then as I got older, I always used to take responsibility for my brothers. One was older and two were younger, but I always wanted to wash their football boots, which were leather, which were hand-scrubbed by moi, and also wash my dad's shirts and scrub his arms and the collars. Isn't that a weird thing to do when you're little?
Yeah, that
but then
is quite
weird. I think as I got older, I noticed that I probably wasn't. I think when I went to school, I suddenly wasn't very mature.
So do you think that you felt like an adult in terms of you had loads of adult responsibilities?
Yeah, no, because I felt I had to do things in the home. I think that's just me. I like tidying up, perhaps. But do you think that's also because... I'd rather do that than going out and play.
Do you think that's because Gaggy and Granny had to work all the time?
Yes, they did work hard. Yes, they did. My mum was a nurse and did night shifts and my dad worked long and late shifts. So whether we were on our own a lot, I don't know. Maybe I used to do the housework.
So do you think you had to grow up quicker than I had to?
Yes, in a funny way, yes, because I was sort of had to get, as soon as I was old enough, my mum said, you have to get a Saturday job. I didn't do a paper round because I think that was my brothers did those. But I got a Saturday job very early. And I got a job in a chip shop, which I loved because the only thing I liked in there was the crackling. So I thought I could eat it all.
But is it called crackling?
Yeah,
that's the leftover bits.
Yeah, called crackling. And we used to serve it in a bag. But I thought I could be in the chip shop eating the crackling. But obviously not. I had to serve the fish and chips.
So did you get told off? Out.
No, they didn't notice. I still had the crackling and serve fish and chips. I was really good, polite, quick and all those things. All of the above.
Do you think you had a better understanding of, like, monetary responsibility? Like, with that money that you earned, what would you buy with it? Would it be things for you, or would that have to go towards the family?
No, it was for me, but it wasn't that much. So it was only enough to probably buy a magazine in those days called Jackie. And I can't remember how much it was. It was like 2 and 6, you know. It was the odd decibel money in the olden days. And that's all I had. I wouldn't earn more than £1 or £1.50.
What was Jackie about?
It was sort of like girls, girly things, but it was for young girls. It was not like the magazines
not
today.
Not like Cosmopolitan.
No, gosh, no.
Like Girl Talk, what I used to get when I was, or Smash that, or Miz. Do you remember
those? Yeah, lower, younger than that. It was more like a Beano. It's more like a comic, but for girls. And it wasn't even as sophisticated as Beano or Dandy, which is a bit weird. But I loved it because you always got a free thing on the front.
Well, when was that whole thing? I actually don't even know. I shouldn't even brought this up. But you know, the banks when they gave out all the loans and stuff. That was when you and Dad were younger.
Oh yeah, so that was in the '80s.
So you were the years when you like thought everyone could have it all kind of thing. So you had a very different when I grew up.
Like the baby boomer type age group.
Yes. We would thought that we could have everything because you guys had been.
It was easier then because everyone that was young in those days, if you had a reasonably good job or you know a big enough income, you knew you could get 3 or 4 times your salary, which is really still legal these days then to get a mortgage.
So then moving up to that age, so when you and Dad first thought about buying a house, you felt quite easily you could comfortably kind of get somewhere.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Then I got married quite young. I was 21. And then when we bought our flat, I was still coming up to 22, and it was like my home. I had a home, a whole home to myself to run.
And did you feel, because right now I'm obviously 24 and I feel like you would have felt older than I feel. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, I think I was more. I used to do everything, all the washing, all the shopping, all
I
the
still
everything.
Do my washing.
I know, but it's not quite in the same vein, I don't think.
Yeah, but mum, literally, just to caveat this, mum is the best washer you've ever. Everything is whiter than white. I still actually don't understand how you keep your white so white. I still haven't learned that.
Okay.
She's making such a proud face.
I know. B-L-E-A-C-H. Bleach. But no, be careful.
You can't bleach white. You bleach our clothes?
No. I use the odd spray on a stain.
But it's like clothes
bleach.
You've got
to bleach. Be urgently putting it on. You have to put it on and then take it off.
But it's
quickly.
Meant for clothes, not like
toilet
bleach.
No, it's not meant for clothes. Oh. Bleach spray. But you've got to be really careful.
Doesn't that make things go yellow?
No, you've got to be quick.
Okay. I think I'll leave that to
That's
you.
A technique. Yeah. No, I think, yes, we were definitely older, so even though I might have been 21, 22, I think I was more not mature. I didn't know much about world. You're more worldly wise than I was. Yet I was more homely, sort of like I could hold. I did my nursing job, and I'd come home and have the flat all organised and do all the shopping, all that sort of thing. But I didn't know anything
about.
You're
more like domesticated.
Yes. For example, there was no internet, no phones, nothing like that. No telephones.
Yeah.
So if you wanted something, you had to go and look it up in the library. And there was phone boxes. I used to love phone boxes.
What would you do in a phone box?
Phone somebody.
No.
Oh, to you. No, I can't remember the number
I
now.
Used to, do you remember when I used to ring in phone box and do the reverse number and used to charge you loads of money because I never had any money?
No, I think you could ring free and you could, if you have to dial 999, you'd have to go into a phone box.
Oh, yeah, that's so long. Did you ever have to do that?
No, not really.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so what I want to get an idea of, I think our generation, like the millennial generation, adulting is like a word that we all use really commonly, but it wasn't really a word before. And the word in itself is quite childish, isn't it? It like makes...
No, but I think, although you call it adulting, I think in a funny way you are more adulty than I was, but it's just different. I did things different. I think I could do more things, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I
feel more practical. More practical.
Whereas you could look stuff up. If you want to know something, you look it up, you're instantly, you know where to go, how to access stuff. You seem to know when I say things to you, so you instantly know the answer. I'm thinking, why don't I know?
But that isn't necessarily being knowledgeable. It's just knowing how to use technology properly.
Maybe.
So this is another question that I want to ask. So right now, obviously I have, you don't think I really have a job, do you?
I keep thinking. I know you have a job.
But like for me, there's so many things I could do. I don't, you know, when people ask you, like, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah.
When you were little, did you know the answer to that question?
No, not when I was tiny, no. But I knew, because I was innately always a carer type of person.
Yeah.
And I always used to want to help old people. I always had this thing about old people and helping them out. So when I was at school, I used to go into a nursing. I don't know why, into a hospital and help people. Nothing scared me. I wasn't bothered about people being sick or whatever. So I thought then, after a year after I left school, I thought I should go and be a nurse, really.
And then that you loved nursing, didn't you?
Yeah.
So for you, that was quite straightforward. You just said, I'm going to be a nurse, and then you did it, and you loved it.
Yeah.
I think the weird thing about my generation is that no one seems to know what to do. Mm. And even when you get a job, no one's, like, happy in it.
I know, because I think my mum was a nurse.
Yeah.
So I thought, often people do follow, don't they? But I think if she wasn't a nurse, I might not have known or gone for it, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because the other weird thing is, I guess now, with more equal opportunity for, like, men and women, there's almost so much more choice for things that we want to do. And I also think, because think about how much longer everyone's living. I think that's why we feel like we're younger. Because you started your, like, almost your adult life much younger than I did in some ways.
Oh, yes, because people, I didn't, although we had children, but I was 29 by the time I had my first baby. So we didn't have children for the first 8 years.
That's actually quite
a
good age, isn't it?
Yeah. So, because I was busy working and faffing about shopping mostly, which I loved.
All our generation are really, like, no one wants to almost get into that final job yet. Everyone wants to travel before they do it. Or everyone's really, this is the whole concept, like, everyone's putting off that adulting phase.
That's what I keep saying
phase.
To you girls. Go to, like, Tiffany's in Australia, which is really sad. But
it's my big sister.
Yeah, but if you went, I'd say, no, go. I wouldn't say, yeah. I would miss you, obviously. God, there'd be less washing. But
you literally come up and take my washing. You have to force it.
I know,
it,
but I
can.
It's easier
it
if I
hand.
Do. It's just easy because things last longer if I wash things. I'm a white hat. No, but I think you should do it because I'd love to have done that. But I don't think I would have done it in my age because I don't think in that funny sort of way I wouldn't have been. Yeah. Mind you, no, I don't.
I think
know
you've got
that.
A lot of nous about you.
No, no, because I did. I worked in Saudi Arabia and my friend went off to. If I wasn't married, I was desperate to go and work for the king in Riyadh. I never did. And I was thinking, God, I could have got a Rolex then, but never mind.
Oh my God. Can you tell us the story about that guy that weed? Did he wee on you?
No, he weed on the floor.
This to Marcus
Cromwell Hospital. Yeah, but he was like one of the princes. I'm not sure. I don't think he was the king.
Not an English prince, by the way.
No, he's Arab.
Yeah, just to clarify.
And I wasn't having that, you see. I wasn't. A lot of people were slightly, not subservient to them, but in awe of them. But I thought, well, no, sorry. That doesn't matter what his... You know, obviously they treated women funnily, but all the Arabs liked me because I was prepared to talk to them. And I'd tell him off and I'd go, la, 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 which meant no, no, no in Arabic.
Does that actually mean no?
La, it means no, yeah. And they'd look at me horrified and his bodyguards would look at me and I'm going, no. And I'd say, la, la, la. And then I said, I'm trying to give him a bath. And I used to say, I can't remember what bath is now. And he didn't want to bath because he didn't want to take his clothes off. And obviously being female male, that was horrendous for him. So I said, don't worry, we'll have a bath with your clothes, with your robes on. So I took him into the bathroom and sat him in this big hoist thing and just shoved him in the bath.
You don't think you're a feminist, do you? But that's, you don't like the word. Or do you think you're a feminist?
Just no, I think now. I am, not outwardly. Yeah, I am in certain
You are, because the way that you act, you're very like, you want everything to be equal between people. And
oh,
you're
yes,
very...
yes. I don't like things that aren't sort of fair.
Yeah.
And I think, no, but I think I was always, as a youngster... But you're quite outspoken, aren't you?
Yeah.
I used to talk to anybody and everybody. It didn't bother me. But some people will not, they'll shy away. But I could speak to a stranger. It doesn't matter who they are.
Yeah,
king,
that's
queen,
true.
Whatever. I go, hi, how are you doing? Nice. Actually, I must tell you another story. This
okay,
is so funny. In my day in Tooting Broadway, my mum used to take me to school. It's quite funny. There were, in those days, there were lots of streakers. I don't know what it was about men flashing or flashing streakers.
You know that's actually sexual harassment, but carry on.
Yeah, but no, I thought it was funny. But mum used to say to me, there was this chap in a beige coat. He often used to do it. I mean, he's obviously dead now because he's quite elderly. And he used to just come up in front of me and just open his coat. And my mum, being an Irish woman, would just tell him to...
Bugger off.
Yeah, was that a worse word than that.
What would she say? You don't in the accent.
Fuck off.
Fuck off. Yeah, but with an E.
That.
You can.
Egypt. And all that. And don't look. And I sort of said, well, it's too late, I've looked. But anyway, it was so boring. I didn't think that, oh my God, I've been shocked for the rest of it. I wasn't scarred by that. I just thought it was funny. I remember it so well, but it
How
never...
How old were you?
Again, I was at primary school, so I wouldn't primary school live
But what
11.
Would you do if that happened to me when I was with you?
I'd probably hit the person.
Exactly.
Sorry,
can't
say that. No, no, but I wouldn't.
But do you know what I mean? At the time, you thought it was funny, but Granny obviously wouldn't have thought it was funny.
No.
Yeah.
But Granny didn't. Yeah, she wouldn't have. I wouldn't have hit him, actually, but I would have probably. I don't know. People don't do that now. They do worse things than that, don't they?
Yeah, well, I think everything happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
So do you think when you were growing up, what did you define as successful? Like, if you were, say, when you're like maybe 15, 16, and you thought of a woman who you thought was successful, would you think, like, when you look forward to your future, did you imagine yourself like being a mum with children?
Yes, probably, but I didn't think of women as working as doctors, which is weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
I thought of nursing because it's all I sort of knew, really. Or lawyers. I never thought of being a lawyer, a solicitor, a doctor, anything like that. So, but all my brother's friends, though, funny enough, they did all that, and they were, a lot of them were successful.
All the boys.
They were barristers, yeah,
yeah,
and did that sort of thing. A lot of them went to uni. But
did you ever think that you could go to uni?
Never even occurred to me.
No.
Didn't even actually, probably never thought.
Because in those days, in your school books and stuff, I bet it would just have been, like, girls would have been nurses or carers and the men would have had those jobs.
Yes.
That's mad, isn't it, that it's changed so much?
I think it might have been different if I'd gone to a slightly different school. I did go to an all-girls Catholic school run by nuns. They were lovely.
Do you think that changed the way that you grew up?
Probably, yes. I think we were very cosseted and sort of, it was all about religion. I used to go to church every Sunday. Had to. Otherwise,
did you like it, though?
Yeah, it was quite a social thing. I used to go and just laugh. No, not really. I wasn't like that. I shouldn't say that. Cheers. I know,
Cheers.
I knew all the prayers. I was so good. I can't sing, so I never did sing. I mimed the whole way through. But I'd go every Sunday because I knew Mum would say, if you didn't go to church, you can't do whatever.
So I want to go back to that point that you were saying, because I think it's so interesting that when you were at school, you never realised that you could be these careers, which were really gendered as male careers.
So, oh, gosh, yeah.
So if now you were at school and you were like brought up in my age, and you could have those opportunities, and you did imagine. Did you know any male doctors when you female doctors when you were a nurse?
No, didn't know anyone.
Really, it was all men.
Oh no, when I was a nurse, yeah,
yeah.
Oh yes, yeah.
There were female doctors,
but then I wouldn't think that I could do that job then, and maybe not now because I'm not. I don't like to study; it's too much like hard work. But
same.
No, to me, I've always got better things to do, like washing or making a pot of tea. But the point is, if I was studious, a bit like your middle sister Emily, who just studied night and day, and I don't know how
then
people do that, I could have done it. Yes, but there were female doctors, but I used to think that was quite alien. I just think they were a different type of person.
Yeah,
like nurses were nurses; that was their little compartment, and the doctors were in another compartment. But in those days, don't forget all the male doctors. It was just amazing. They'd have their three-piece suits and their gold chains hanging across the front, and you'd almost like bow to them. Well, I didn't actually. But
this is really bad. Actually, I want to talk about this. It's kind of like what we're talking about in powerful men and stuff, like with Weinstein. You told me that story about that doctor. What was it? The older doctor? Can you tell that story?
Surgeon.
Yeah.
I won't say his name. He's would have died a long time ago. But I worked with him across two hospitals. So I think I was doing a cardiothoracic course at the Brompton Hospital. And then when I did that, I left and went to the Cromwell. I thought that was too much like hard work. And I'd go and work at the Cromwell, which I loved. Private hospital, really nice. Anyway, while I was at the Brompton, I came across this surgeon. He was very tall, quite elegant, but he was quite drooly. So he had very pocked skin. I think he must have drunk a lot, but he always had a gold chain, a three-piece suit with a waistcoat and all that sort of thing. And he used to come up to me and sort of make little lewd suggestions. Should I say what?
Yeah.
He used to say, do you want a QLO? And I used to think, what the hell's a QLO? That's really weird. And I said, no, sorry, Mr. Whatever your name is, being a surgeon. He was a mister. And he'd say a quick leg over. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I thought, you can't say that. That's really rude. And I said, so to me, I didn't think, oh, God, this is like harassment or sexual abuse. I said to him, no, but I'd much prefer a QCOT. And he said, huh? And I said, a quick cup of tea.
That is so good.
Because I thought, well, why? Because I wasn't actually harassed by it, because I just saw he was like dribbling, but he was spitting like people spit.
But that's what's so interesting is that our perspective of those things in life, like we very much forever have believed that that's just part and parcel of being a woman. But really, it is actually sexual harassment. I know that you didn't see it like that.
No.
But it's so crazy that in this amount of time, we've realised that these things happen all over the place. Because to you, it might have just been a QLO.
No, but he did this for a long time. He was always saying to me, I think because I was quite chatty, and obviously being a young nurse, I used to chat away. And then one day I did say to him, look, I got cross. I said, you can't really say that. I don't really like it. It's a bit rude or whatever. And he took umbrage, as my mum would say, and he wouldn't talk to me. And then when I went to the Cromwell, it was at the Brompton. I was in the intensive care and he tied my dress to the chair, which was a bit weird. I know, because it had a belt at the back in the bow or not. And he undid it while he was seeing the patient, undid the belt and tied it to the chair. And I remember thinking, Mr. Whatever your name is, you can't do that. What have you done? But I obviously was facing forward and I had to get somebody
so the patient
to undo
couldn't
me.
See.
No, the patient was unconscious in intensive care. They were not
very
well.
Yeah.
And he thought that was funny. And I thought, gosh, he must have been in late 60s then. Then I met him at the Cromwell and he sort of recognised me. I thought, oh, my God, that's her. And he was actually better. He didn't really do that. And he used to say to me,
maybe you got told off.
No, you wouldn't know. That's the other thing. I would never go to anybody above me and say, this person said this
really?
To me. Yeah.
What if he said something worse? Well,
No, because he'd deny and they'd believe
it. So you just feel like you had no...
No, I wouldn't have said. It never even occurred to me to tell anyone.
That's so bad. It's really like what's going on because you just think you just don't have a way out.
But if I did, though, the hospital... Both hospitals, I think, would have taken his side.
They would have covered it up.
Because he would have said, oh, silly woman, silly young girl, what's she talking about? Because he was so powerful. He was power. And at the Cromwell, he brought in so much money.
So did you feel like, as a woman growing up in your generation, that a lot of things just you were kind of silenced over because there wasn't even any point in you?
Yeah, I think so. I used to say I wasn't a wallflower, as it were. I'd always speak up. But yeah, I suppose I should have said something. But no, I didn't.
Just women didn't feel like they had as much autonomy. Mum used to tell me, this is my favourite thing, she'd be like, if you ever go out on your own, just take your pepper spray and a hat pen.
Pepper spray is not even legal. No, not in those days. No, you get hat pin.
No, but you did used to tell me this. When I was little and I first started going out, you'd try to give me a hat pin and you'd be like, stick it where it hurts.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I was like, Mum, can't do that.
Of course you do. Nobody will know. It's just a No, you go for it. And also you walk in the middle of the road and then you shite fire.
You shite fire.
You shit fire, yeah. Well, no, sorry, I didn't mean to. But I think nowadays you're aware of this, like sexual abuse or whatever it is, all that sort of stuff. Whereas in my day, it wasn't known
no
as
one
that.
Spoke
I didn't
about
know
it.
That's what that would have been called.
No.
And people spoke to you like that. It wasn't because I didn't... I didn't think it was abnormal. I knew it wasn't right, but it's, I thought,
but it was, you just think that's normal.
Yeah, I dealt with stuff as it came along. I mean, I used to stand up for my brothers, not my older brother, but the little ones going to school. I'd hold their hands, and if anyone used to fight with them, I used to fight with them too. Whoops.
Are you good at fighting?
Very good.
I don't think I've ever properly learned how to fight.
I'm just cleaning the table. There's a really irritating mark in there.
One sec. Okay.
And you, so when did you think you would be an adult? Like when you were younger, would you be like 18, 21?
Yeah, no. I think probably when you get married, you sort of think, oh goodness, I'm an adult. That seemed old. If I'd known then that I didn't have to get married so young, I probably shouldn't have got married so young.
Because you feel like you could have done more.
Yeah, I would have done more. I would have been done something else. I know I wouldn't have had the girls, but I would have had a different life. But it's weird. Once you get married, I think you settle into that role.
Yeah.
So I then didn't look for anything else. I think other people did, but that was just me, I think.
And when we were growing up, when did you think... So obviously, I've got two older sisters. Tiffany is 30 and Emily's almost 29.
Mm.
Now, as we got older, do you keep thinking we're really young? Because I remember thinking Tiffany was so old when she was 18.
No, I think... No, because when you say the ages, I think, oh, my God, that seems old. And I don't think that they seem that age, because I think when I was 30, I seemed older. And now I'm nearly 60, I feel like I'm 21.
That's good. Very you are weird. Only as old as you feel, though.
Yeah, I know.
Do you think that my life... So, obviously, my way that I work is completely different from anything you would have had the opportunity, because I would just work freelance, so I can work when
I
want.
Yeah, I do find it a bit, not odd, a bit alien still. And I think you're lucky. I think you've got more freedom than I
Much more had. Freedom, I think.
I don't think, even in those days, if I wasn't married, I don't think I'd still be as free as you were. I think I used to go off and do things, like meet friends, and I was always sort of going out with girlfriends and doing bits, but not...
But I think a lot of people maybe don't have the same amount of freedom
as I
do. But
you'd go to a local club, you wouldn't do anything else. I'd never ever eat out. There's no such thing as having breakfast out or eating a meal out.
I think breakfast out is quite recent anyway, even in my lifetime. I don't think it was as big
But I think in those days, if you were going out, you'd eat before you went out. You wouldn't go out for a meal.
No, would anyone go out for a meal?
Well, only for a curry. That's the only thing you ever did in those days.
Do you know what? I was listening to this on, who was it, Jessie Ware's podcast. She was saying about this, someone she had on said in the 80s, his mum used to make her own homemade curries, and that was like unheard of.
Yes.
Because no one knew recipes for...
No. We used to go with mum and dad to curry. There's one in Clapham Common. I actually think it's still there. We used to go with them there, and I don't think...
Could you have pizza? Or like spaghetti?
I never had pizza when I was little.
Really? Did you know what it was?
Yeah, I've never had spaghetti bolognese as such. When I was older, but
what would you eat? What were your staple meals at home?
Always potatoes. It was like the old-fashioned sort of meals, like potatoes and vegetables. Yeah, roast dinners. But often, as a child, we'd have, which I actually loved, which is really weird, is like a fried egg. My mum used to fry with it, and I hate frying anything now. I'd never fry. I'd never
Not
used
in
to
oil,
fry.
Anyway.
No, I'd never fried anyway, which is a weird thing. And a fried egg on top of hula hoops. I know.
As in the Chris?
No, what? You Wally. No, don't mean that. No, like baked beans, but in hula hoop shapes. Hula hoops.
Spaghetti hoops.
Yeah, spaghetti hoops. I call them hula hoops, okay.
I was like, what?
That was so delicious.
When did you first get drunk?
Oh, now, Emily, I want to know the, all my
Bloody
girls
hell.
Get named. I
Mum
don't know any of their names.
Like,
that's
know.
My Alzheimer's coming back.
Because I'm the youngest, so you never know which one I am.
Anyway, so knowns. I'm always thinks I'm getting paralytic, which actually I never do. I've never actually been
I never said you're
drunk.
Paralytic. Okay. No, she thinks if you say drunk, it's like a really
That's
derogatory
rude.
And rude
I
word.
Find that
it's
really
not.
Rude.
It just means you've been, your body has, your brain has changed because you've had a bit of alcohol.
Yeah, but if your brain is
intoxicated,
changed, you'd fall over. But I don't,
no,
I can carry
can
on as
usual. You
can just
be tipsy. When okay. I say you're drunk, I just mean you've had a drink.
Yes, drunk to me means somebody who can barely walk up the road and needs assistance. Anyway, so when I didn't even have assistance this time, but once I used to, my dad being Irish again, go back to him, he would love his Guinness, not one but many.
How many Guinness do you think you have?
More than 7 or 8.
That's
sometimes
so
he's
funny.
Had 15 pints. He loves it. He loved Guinness, but then he also loved funerals, so that's what I was saying when I was little. That's
you
why
went to so many funerals.
I went to so many funerals or wakes in Ireland. He'd always bring me because I used to really enjoy them, which is a bit of an odd thing.
Why? Because it's like a celebration, though, when
it
you're
is,
Irish.
But you'd always stand around the dead
the body.
Person. Be very respectful. But I, from a very young age, I used to see dead people. But to me, that wasn't, like, scary.
Yeah.
I used to think that was quite normal.
But Catholic funerals are quite a nice thing because it's
yes.
with all your family.
It's all to do, and you eat, and you have tea. You have tea, and then you start
Everyone
drinking.
Just gets absolutely
But you see,
wasted.
I never, even as a... Well, no, obviously not as a young child, but even when I was 15, 16, or even 17, I never drank.
Anything.
I never had a drink, never had alcohol.
Did you not want
tonic
it?
Water? No, because I think I never thought I should drink.
Do you think it's because you'd see Gaggy getting drunk and then you'd be put off?
Yeah, but I never had it. But I think we once went to a seaside, a holiday somewhere, and it was on the beach. I was sitting on a wall, but for some reason I had a glass. I don't know.
Oh my God, you've told me this.
Glass of Guinness. No, not Guinness. Sorry, I hate Guinness. I don't even like it. I mean, cider. I remember thinking, oh my God, this is so nice. It was very sweet. So it was obviously one of those cheap ciders. And I don't know why Dad gave it to me. I can't. I must have been 15 or 16.
Your
I can't
dad? Be younger. Or your, my dad. Who's dad?
My
Gaggy.
Dad. Gaggy. Right. Yeah. Gave it to me. And I drank it and I thought, this is great. Obviously, it must have gone straight to my head because I drank it probably like water. And then I fell off the wall. Literally. Not, thankfully, onto the beach. But had it been on anywhere else, I would have probably died. But anyway, I'm still here to tell that. I don't remember being rescued. I don't remember the rest of the story, obviously.
So you literally had half a pint of cider and blacked out?
Well, I don't know. Because the rest is gone. Maybe that's why most is history. But you see, when we were little, though, if we ever had stomachache, I think I used to pretend I used to have stomachache. Mum, used to bring me warm milk, but she'd always put brandy in it.
So you had had a drink before then, because you had bloody brandy from the age of three.
Age of one, probably. Yeah, but I don't like brandy. I don't like spirits or whiskey, any of that stuff. So it wasn't until I probably went out with your dad, and then used to have the odd drink, but it was honestly, we'd have a bottle of wine. If when we first got married, we'd have a bottle of wine that would last us a week.
No, you used to have a gin and tonic and a menthol cigarette when you were.
Oh yeah, I must say, I quite enjoyed the smoking palaver.
They used to smoke Sobranis.
Sobranis. I'd only have posh cigarette. God, I wouldn't go for Marlboro.
I've seen a picture of you with Marlboro lights.
No, not Marlboro. No, not me. No.
Were they not yours?
No, they were not mine. Someone handed it or thrust
that time
it.
I was at a party and I was really drunk and I got so excited someone had a Sobranis, so they sent you a picture and like...
But I used to have those. And what was the black? They were chocolate flavoured or brown, dark brown,
with
very
licorice
thin
on them.
Cigarettes. They were very long. And they were packets of Moritz and Moritz.
I don't even get them anymore.
No, they were big flat in packets like this.
Yeah, that's cool.
They were lovely. I think I like them because they just look nice. But they did taste, they had flavours. So it wasn't like smoking.
I think when I was like 16, I remember thinking
I was
so
showing off. That's where I thought I was growing up. But actually, obviously,
yeah,
I wasn't.
That's what I was about to say. So when you're that age, it's really funny because you think you're so grown up.
By
you
smoking,
can drink.
I was then grown up.
Yeah.
I wasn't.
But then now I'm 24, I feel like, shit, I'm 24 and I should be grown up, but I don't feel like I am. Come on then.
I might fiddle now because I think
What are you going to fiddle with? Come nearer then. Okay, so we had a little what's it called?
Chat.
No, break.
Oh yeah, we're now doing a bit of we're resuming.
Resuming, yeah, because Mum had to pop off to go get something.
Yeah.
So then we just had a curry and a glass of wine, and now we're back. It was good. We had vegan curry.
Yeah, it was so nice.
And it was mock chicken. You never have. Do you enjoy it?
It was nicer than real chicken.
Yeah, that question. I think I want to ask you, what advice would you give to me, or what things did you wish that you'd known when you were growing up or when you were my age?
About being a mum or about being a
just about being a person, like learning how to be an adult.
I think the only thing is I should have gone and looked to be I don't know how to put it now to say, well, to find out that there's more things I could have done or there was more things out there. I was quite happy. I think in that day and age, I wasn't sort of...
But that's good if you were happy.
Yeah, I was happy doing my thing. I wasn't sort of ambitious. That's the word, really ambitious.
But then I think that if you were happy, then that's like the ultimate thing, isn't it? Whereas I think everyone now, everyone always wants more. I don't think you always need to do amazing things to be happy.
I was busy doing what I was doing. So I must have been fulfilled. Just got to be nice and be kind to people. You are. You're always saving people, aren't you, on the street? So that's good. You must save people. And I suppose try not to be rude, because in my head, I've decided to just be rude in my head and then smile and say, thank you. You know, to people on the street, you're like when they overtake.
I don't drive, so I wouldn't...
Oh, yeah, when people have been horrible. I would never do that. Never put your fingers up when you're driving. That's so rude.
I still don't drive, so it's...
Yeah, but even when you do, don't do it. Even if people are really nasty, don't
so
do
no
it.
To so road rage common. Is your number one top tip advice for this podcast.
I do call them a wally, and I used to say lots of things like bloody when you were little, didn't I? I used to say, what's that square word?
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I remember that.
I quite like bloody. I don't think it's that bad.
No, I used to say blimey a lot and I got told off.
You used to say twat, not blimey.
Oh, I love that word, but I've stopped saying that now. I'm really sad. I can't say.
Basically, Mum did not know that twat was rude. She thought it was the same as twit. But she would call me and my friends, she'd be like, you little twats.
No, I didn't say it quite like that. But yeah, I like that word though. It sounds nicer than twit. twat.
Yeah, but it is quite rude. You can't say that. Yeah. So do you have... So overall, do you think that it matters if people don't know what's going on? Do you know what I mean?
I think in a way, you might be better off being... You're sort of... If you're blind to really what's out there, I think the more you know, I think that's the problem with this generation and you younger people. I think there's a lot of mental health problems. I know there probably were in our day, but I think because there's so much stress going on and there's so much you have to do, you feel you have to do, you have to be doing, got to be doing, they're all, you can't cope. And people, they're trying to do too much.
I think that comes down to the fact, though, like going back to the original point, so when... You guys didn't have as many opportunities because you had to focus, like there was so much more precedent put on. You had to be work so hard to get the food on the table and do certain things that you didn't even have time to think about. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, I think you're right, we've got like there's so much technology that means we have more time to work. That everyone in my generation not only has a job, but you've also got like what people call a side hustle, which is when you have like loads of other things that you do as well.
I think people this generation, yeah, have a bigger social life. So it's hard because you've got to do, if you're doing your work, whatever work it is, even though your job, non-job, I think is a non-job. I think there's so much going on. It's not like in the olden days, you used to come home, cook tea, do a bit of washing, sit down, chill. I never did chill.
Yeah, I know. I think everyone switched on. I think that's the internet as well. You're just constantly like emails.
Yeah, I think you should ban all... light at the door, blue light at the your bedroom door, leave it outside.
Yeah, that is good.
I think you need a teacher in every house to confiscate all equipment.
You're going to hire a freelance teacher? Yeah, what is that, not a parent?
Yeah, I should come and live with you now.
You go on your phone at night?
No, I don't. I think cause it wakes you up. You mustn't do it though.
I do. I try to read. I try to not go on at half an hour before I sleep. And then read before bed.
Yeah, it's very difficult to give advice because it's hard because it's not applicable my day.
Do you think it's so different?
Yeah, it's so different. I don't know if I'd cope nowadays. I think maybe I would. If I was around today, I'd probably be...
You are around really today, efficient. By the way.
Yeah, but not around in your age generation like a little young person.
Okay.
I'd be quite efficient, actually. But I wouldn't be doing all the stuff that you do. I'd still be doing not as much. You know, there must be people, youngsters, that don't do everything that you do. You do so much.
But I do, my job's probably not a very good example to base it off.
Even your friends who have normal, say, for example, jobs, then they go out and then they're always out. They're always doing stuff. There's no time to do basic
I think
stuff.
It's being in London as well, it's so fast paced. You have to squeeze so much time. But yeah, you're right. I have some friends who work from like 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. and then go out. It's a bit like Emily.
And come home and then I think, well, when are you going to
relax,
clean the bathroom?
Literally all your concerns about the washing.
I think you see,
if anyone's looking for a cleaner, she charges £400 an hour.
No, not that much. Less. I love cleaning. I would like to be a cleaner. I'm really good. But it would take me too long.
So would that be like, oh, that's a good question. Do you think that happiness is derived from, because I think what you were saying earlier is that you feel maybe like you could have done more, but actually I think the important thing is just to make sure that you're happy. And I don't think that it matters. I think sometimes, I think actually more in your generation, people thought that you had to have, like, for instance, be a lawyer or a doctor or something to be successful. Mm. Whereas I think our generation are more now about making sure that you're happy. And it's not necessarily about making sure you earn loads and loads of money. It's about making sure that you have
but
a really nice...
But also you're very, not, what's the word, not opinionated, you're very into, like, what's right and wrong. Whereas, do you know what I mean, right and wrong?
Me
like,
personally?
No, generally, like, you can't say that, you can't do
politically
that.
Politically correct.
Yes. And I'm not sure if that's a bit... OTT
these Do you
days.
Feel a bit like you are over-censored?
I'm not over-censored.
No, but like people over-censor.
Yeah, because you read in the paper and you think people, you know, Me Too and all that sort of stuff. I think fine, but I'm not sure. I'm not being sympathetic. I'm on their side and all that palaver. But I think it's just too much.
I don't know what you're saying.
You don't understand?
No.
Why?
What do you mean, what's too much?
Well, it's constant now because it's like a bandwagon.
But that's because everyone's, it's finally
I know
being
it's,
unearthed.
I know it's finally, because everyone says, that they're probably thinking the more people that say it, the more everyone is sort of ram it down your
But
throat.
It's so good because then it'll stop it. Because the problem also isn't about the women speaking up. It should be, the problem is, it should be those men admitting and realising and changing those behavioural patterns. But until...
Oh yeah, but that's going to be generations because you've got to wait for all the other twats to die, haven't you? Well, you know what I mean.
I don't know necessarily what you mean in terms of Me Too, but I think I get what you're saying in terms of, like, you feel like you can't say anything without offending someone.
Yeah, well, you tell me off all the time, and I'm not actually...
But I guess my point of view on things is, if it's a word, especially if it's just a word, it doesn't take that much out of my day to change one word in my vocabulary if it's going to make sure that other people aren't offended. Okay. That's how I look at it. But I do know that a lot of people
feel...
But why
feel, do... It's just sad then that certain people do take offence to something.
But it's because when you don't... So, like, it's... For instance, a man might not find it offensive if someone said something to them which is offensive to a woman because it doesn't apply to them. It's a point of privilege. So we might not realise that something... So, for example, when people used to say years ago, that's gay... We wouldn't find that offensive because we're not gay, but to gay people, to use that word as a derogatory term.
I remember school when you were at school.
People used to say it, I never say that anymore, but that, for example, we couldn't see why that was offensive, but to a gay person, they'd be like, why are you using something that defines me as a derogatory term?
Yes.
Do you see? And then, so, whilst it might not make sense to us, actually, if it's offending someone, you don't
lose... That's just a word of the moment, isn't it? That's just a word that happened then. Nobody says that
now. No one says that now, no.
But also, it's just like, certain people say, oh, it's banter. Well, it's not. I know it's banter.
I hate that word,
joking,
banter.
I know. But then they use that to say, well, actually...
To excuse themselves.
It's just getting a load of blokes together.
Wait, that's the other way around. Now I feel like you're saying something else.
No, I'm just saying it's the same.
They excuse their behaviour as banter.
Yes, or to say, oh, well, I was just a lad thing.
Yeah, but that's exactly it. There shouldn't be such thing as lad culture, and there's no excuse for it.
No.
Like
I
locker room
that,
chat.
Yes. I suppose it's got to be all your generation then, boys, and that. They won't be like that, so they, you know,
I don't
soon,
think it's
nobody
as bad.
Will talk like that anymore.
No, I think things are changing.
Do you think it's worse now? I don't know. In our day, it was. I'm not sure it was more isolated.
I think it happened as much, but I think there wasn't as much integration between the sexes, and
it
was more like behind closed doors, very much. So you didn't see it as much. Whereas I think also now, in terms of the media and social media,
well, that's the thing.
It means you just get a view into every single bit. Whereas I think it wasn't as widely.
It's good. No, I agree. I think it's good that everyone, especially young people, even young, you know. Less than teenager.
I think the ones younger than me are even more politically aware.
Hmm.
Like the 16-year-olds now are very
even
woke.
Younger than that. 13-year-olds. Yeah. Woke's a funny word, isn't it?
Yeah. It's actually derived. Well, it actually comes from African American slang, and it was when it means that you're awakened to something. But it could be someone said that could be. Cultural appropriation, that word, but apparently it's not. But people just use it now to mean, it's so well used now, it's almost hard to describe it, but it means awakened to things, like you open up your eyes and you see stuff, so you're woke to it.
Oh, okay. I'm going to try that then.
But like, it's like when you suddenly become, you know, Harley, you said you didn't really think that guy flashing was sexual harassment.
Mm. But it wasn't, though.
But it is because he is... invading your privacy and showing you something that you should,
I know, but
especially
I think
as a child.
Yes, I know, but I think he was doing it in those days. I think he was doing it to like for the shock value. It wasn't going to actually. I don't think.
Yeah, but that's still asserting power.
Yeah, maybe
to undermine you.
Child who did it to you that really got disturbed.
But
I mean, to me,
it didn't affect me at all. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that it's not wrong.
No, and I think also you don't know there are lots of people who have sadly mental issues.
Yeah,
so he
definitely.
Probably didn't even know what he was doing. Bless him. It's sad, isn't it?
Yeah. But that's another problem in itself, coming down to politics and how we look after wealth and distribute wealth and stuff, because that's why you have people with lots of mental health.
Yeah, so back to the advice. No, I think you're going great guns. And I think, yes, I suppose your generation and people younger are doing it for the future, aren't you? For change, as it were.
Do you think you went with the flow more?
Definitely, yes.
You didn't really think you could enact any change?
No. I didn't think outside the box, basically. I just... went with it, and then I was so busy, I suppose, doing my job. And then when you get married, you have a home, and I wasn't thinking, oh, should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? Or you don't.
When you look back, do you think you were content with the way that the world was in terms of not your personal life, but like politics, or like you don't really?
Yes,
know.
I wasn't really into. See,
you
I
didn't really care.
No, I think yes, because when I was a lot younger, we never really had a television. We had a radio, so I never watched.
You didn't really know,
and I didn't really watch television because it was when we had one eventually. There was only ever football. The boys watched it, I didn't watch
so
it.
So funny.
So I never really...
I guess your life there was very like a family. That is really true, actually. I think when you grow up, that's something that I think it's a shame that isn't as much anymore. But your life was very much a family life, and it was just about spending your time with your family and your friends.
Yeah.
Whereas now, I think everyone, because you have such quick connections to different countries and different things going on in the world, it's actually more alone, because more people spend time on their own looking things online than they do actually having real social interactions.
Yes.
So that's lost in some ways.
Yeah, I suppose it's like anything, like going on holiday. We never went further than Ireland.
Yeah. I think maybe what it is as well is our generation are more individualist in that we spend more time, like
Do you think you want more though?
I think that, especially because there's less religion as well, because obviously religion creates community, doesn't it? And it makes people stay together, that actually you're, or maybe less affected by other things going on because you've got such a nuclear community.
Whereas, but also in my day, there wasn't so much of the other religions, you know, there was not...
What you want, it wasn't such an integrated place.
No,
it wasn't
no.
so diverse.
Not at all, no. So, you know, we're not aware. There were no, I don't think when I was growing up, there were not many people from other countries, really.
In London?
Yeah.
In, like, what I mean is nowadays, because there's less sense of community, as we're more, people look at millennials as more individual. Like, we think that everything, we've got to do it on our own kind of thing. Mm. So everyone's out for themselves.
Yeah.
And everyone's doing that. So I think that's why we're more politically engaged, because it's almost like a personal agenda, which is in some ways really sad.
Mm.
And if you think about the way that people don't, I guess even, like, I'm going back years and years and years ago now, but I assume in villages and even in London, there was much more sense of community.
Mm.
I feel like now no one talks to anyone. You hate that, don't you?
Yeah, so I don't like that. Because when we lived in Clapham, it was... Not only was it like a lots of a sort of an Irish community, but my mum would talk to everybody.
Yeah.
We'd talk to everybody in the streets.
Yeah.
And they, you know, even not so long ago, just before she died, even because it was a small area, they got to know older people, like the bus, the chap driving down Nightingale, yeah, would stop the bus and tell her to get on. And she'd say no. And he'd say, get on, make her get on, and then drop her off at the house.
But you make a point of speaking to everyone, don't you?
Yeah.
Because you know everyone in every shop, everywhere we go.
Yeah, but I do. But some people think it's odd, but I just talk to people. And then they'll talk back because they think it's great.
Yeah. But I think that's a really sad thing that people aren't more
friendly.
I've always
chatted to people, yeah.
And I do think that that's something to do with this increase in technology, increase in, like, individualist ideas.
Mm.
There's less sense of community. And I do think that comes down to less religion and more technology.
Mm.
So in some ways, I guess the reason wasn't because you didn't have ambitions, but you were just actually content with your life because you had so much in your own small...
Yes, I didn't know how to change it, so I just carried on with what I was doing.
Not that you need to change it, but it's just interesting to see that clearly your own small environment maybe was more positive, mm, and positive for you than the environment that we live in, which is very much, like, competitive and individualist.
I think it's harder, definitely harder.
Yeah.
This day and age, nowadays.
I think it's harder in a different way, though, because I think, especially, like, your parents would have had a lot more difficult in terms of actual, like, hard labour, mm, and we don't have to do stuff like that, do we?
No.
You can cough. Do you want more wine?
No, I could try.
It's really interesting, because I guess some of these things I wouldn't even ask you.
Really? I should have asked Granny about things like that, but she was quite... my mum was quite independent, but quite feisty, wasn't she?
Yeah.
She was, like...
Quite a strong woman.
Yeah. But then set in her ways as well, so she wouldn't have changed much. Was happy to stay where she was and do her job. And
but I think that's good.
Then she had probably lots of friends. There were hundreds of people all around.
Oh,
and everybody,
yeah,
knew everybody, and they'd all ring each other when somebody died. It was like...
Yeah. The best was the Plunket in Clapham, which, yeah, is this pub. It's like an Irish Catholic pub that we used to go to. I used to go there every year to get sent.
And it used to be packed.
And they used to get all totally these grannies fizzled. And granddads would be so wasted. They'd be like Maisie, used to stand on the table.
Cost, well, everything was cost price. It's like a pint. I don't know, in those days, it was like 50p,
yeah,
or things cost nothing.
And I'd end up serving
it
at the bar.
Such a community. But then all the youngsters, like my brothers, went there from when, after church, that's what we used to do, go there. And even the priest would go. And then the priest would die, and then the boys got older. But the boys still today, there's a whole congregation, probably 30 boys or maybe more, and they still see each other.
Yeah.
They still get together. It's sad, really, isn't it?
I wish more that... I guess I didn't have that as much growing up because of where we lived.
No.
But I think that that's really... I would really like
families,
that sense of community.
Yeah, all, like John's friends, if their parents... Any of his friends' parents die or anything, my brother and the other two, they go to everybody's funerals because it's so,
yeah,
respectful. They always, you know, they sort of find it terrible. They're all sort of gone now. Most of the parents have died. It's sad.
Yeah, that's really sad.
But everybody knew everybody. Yeah. That's what's sad now. I think the community. I think there are still communities there.
Yeah, definitely.
But not so
I
much.
Just think that, and maybe it's not as much because I think everyone's so driven to work so hard and there is such a pressure on our. I think because. We're known as the generation that was told that you could have everything because you guys all got these loans. I really can't remember what it was, but because you guys got these loans, we were told we could have whatever we want. So everyone went to school believing they could do whatever they want, and then you get out, there's no jobs, there's no money, the economy's really bad, and you can't buy a flat or like a house.
You can't buy anything.
You can't buy anything.
Young people don't buy. I know, but that's...
So then everyone's really competitive and like, I've got to work so hard, and it's like, it's really difficult, I think, for most young people.
Mm.
And there's like one of the highest rates of unemployment.
It's sad, isn't it? So I think it is. I think it's harder today, I think. I think there were definitely things like unemployment and all that sort of thing years ago, but I think today is harder. There's more poverty now, I think, than there were. We've never had so many homeless. I've never seen... I don't ever remember...
Do you not think it was that many?
Never saw anybody on the street.
Really?
Mm. No, don't remember ever talking, because I probably would have taken them home with me in those days.
Yeah.
No, I've never saw anybody. anywhere in the street, sitting in a doorway.
That's so sad, isn't it?
In Balham, in all those years.
What's really sad when you think about homeless people is I saw the other day, Professor Green put this up, actually, they now, on certain benches, they've put, like, a metal bar so that people can't lie on them.
I've seen that, yeah.
And then I thought this was really dystopian. When I was on the tube the other day, sometimes doing an announcement, like, there are beggars operating on this carriage, please do not encourage them. And everyone was sat there looking at their phones. So I looked up and I was like, this is gross. There's literally an announcement being, like, basically as if there was, like, dogs. Do you know what I mean? Like, treating them humans. And everyone listening to this announcement was just looking at their phone as if nothing was going on, like, as if to be like, we'll ignore them.
Yeah.
And this announcement was like, if there's any beggars or homeless people, make sure that you don't encourage them, but give them money. And I was like, that's a human person, and that you're literally, like, everyone sat there with holding a phone that's worth, like, £1,000. Like, so every person, that's gross.
But when, I tell you, this is one example. This was really sad and nice. When Dad and I were going for New Year out for that meal, do you remember we got the tube?
This New Year.
Yeah, 31st. We're on the tube and there was a man...
Obviously it's 31st.
I know, I just thought I'd put that in case people think it's not. Anyway, and we were sitting on the tube and there was a man... So we were in the middle of the carriage on with our backs to the train, you know, this actual station. And there was a man opposite me, to the left a bit, sitting on the seat, but with his dog on the seat beside him, massive dog, like an Alsatian, beautiful dog. And he was being really... He obviously looked... Well, not well dressed, down a bit, like he looked like he was a tramp, but a nice tramp, you know, you could tell, and hugging his dog and being really nice. And he was sitting hugging his dog, and there was a girl, like, one seat next to Dad, except one, you know, missing seat, and next one to Dad. And she got up to get off, and she handed him £20 note. And I looked, and he got up, and he shook her hand, and he gave her a hug. He said, thank you. Oh, my God, I can't believe that. It's so kind of you.
So
he
sad.
Wasn't asking for money.
Yeah.
Should know that's for you and for your dog and do something. And, you know, everyone, loads of people in the carousel, and they all came up and gave him money.
Yeah, because she did it.
And that was so sad, and I wanted to cry. I said to Dad, have you got any money? He never had any. And
so
I wanted
sad.
To give him money. But he was so pleased, and the dog looked so happy, and he got the dog, and he was hugging the dog.
I do actually give money, but the worst, do you know what happens to me? Every single time I give money to a homeless person, I'll give them money, and I'll feel really, like, good, like, glad I did that. And then the next thing you know, you'll walk past, like, six more, and you're like, I can't, you can't give it to all of them. There's just such a bad homeless problem.
It is bad, because there was one other one in Bristol, I tell you, because I do know some of them in Bristol, although it's got so bad in Bristol now.
Really?
Oh, really bad, yeah. this one youngish chap, who I often talk to with his dog, he walks past, he goes, hi, how are you? I'm going, fine, thank you. And I know he's homeless, but he sort of doesn't look it.
Right.
But he's obviously addicted to drugs.
Oh, my God, has he got, like, floppy hair? I might have spoken to him. Is he, like, 40s?
No.
There's one who's, like, an alcoholic, and his wife, like, kicked him out, and, like, always used to see him when we used to go out.
Oh, really?
And he's literally, like, a functioning alcoholic, but, like, doesn't look
homeless. This chap is... He's obviously a drug addict.
Drug
person, yeah. This person, I was coming out of Primark. I saw him. I said, oh, my God, hi, how are you? And is that a different dog? He said, no, it's the same dog. I went, oh, my God, it looks different. And I didn't give him anything. But so the last time, I came back and I actually gave him £2, which was fine. Then another day, I saw him. And he said, oh, hi, how are you? I said, I'm fine. And I gave him £2 again. And then I went off to do my shopping. I came back and I saw the back of him. And I said, oh, hi, how are you doing? And he went... He was out of it.
Oh, just didn't know who you are.
No, because I said, where have you been?
That's really sad.
And he'd obviously went and bought, not with £2, obviously. He must have got some money and bought whatever he had. Isn't that sad?
But the thing is, I said this to you before, though, but you know when people are like, you're just going to go spend money on alcohol and drugs. We spend money on alcohol and we're not homeless. So obviously, if you're homeless, why wouldn't you want to get away from that? Because I guess the only way to ignore the fact that you're homeless is to be not with it.
I know, but it's just, isn't that sad?
Because you'd want to escape your reality,
nice chap,
wouldn't
you?
Sorry, there's a bit of knocking going on, so I don't know if you're going to hear it, but it's upstairs. But anyway, I just want to say, maybe that's a good time to round it off, actually, if there's noises. So thanks very much for coming on the podcast, Mum.
You're welcome, I enjoyed it. Thank
would you do it again?
Oh, yes, I would, thank you.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm that interesting.
No, I think you are.
But it does make you think. And I think I'm glad, in a funny way, that I'm not you. Sort of
thanks, babe.
No, you're welcome. Bye, have you? You are me.
See, I want to be. Oh my God, that is so true. I'm
what,
so you. You can't escape that as well. You know, people say it's like nature or nurture. We're actually genetically, you get people's personalities. You know, you thought that was like, I am genetically you, so there is no escaping.
No.
I mean, that's fine, apart from some. I mean, I haven't got your tidiness, which is not annoying.
Well.
I take that one.
That's okay.
Do you think it'll come?
No. Yes, it will. I think it does. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you're actually...
No, yeah.
Yeah, it will. Because actually, you're very much improved.
Oh, thank you. Since when?
Because I saw you with a cloth the other day and I thought, what the hell is she doing?
I do like cleaning. I just don't think I'm...
Wiping, but it's attention to detail.
Yeah.
Because I look... You say, I've done the bathroom and I go and I go, this is where I'd say, you need to clean your bathroom.
Yeah, but you are immaculate.
No, but yeah.
I have got a very special way of hoovering though.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, as in, like, I can't be bothered to hoover the whole carpet, so I'll just hoover the areas where I can see there's dust.
You haven't really got the proper Hoover, but no, when really. One has a, like I say, a Dyson. What you need is one of those automatic Hoovers.
I really want a Dyson around. Hoover, actually. Dyson, if you're listening.
Yeah. No. I tell you what, no, those little, like a robot Hoover.
Oh my God, do you know what, actually?
Around the house, bless him.
I think that's such a good point about being an adult. I think you're an adult when you start to learn that you like hoovering, because I actually quite like it now, because there's nothing more upsetting than having an unhoovered carpet. Mm.
I know.
And I never thought I'd care about that. I actually said to Matt the other day, I would love a Dyson Hoover. And that, I think, in itself...
Yes, because you'd never want...
Is very, When you're little, you'd never want a Dyson Hoover. No. And now I just... And honestly, a little one. Emptying the bin, and I was like, do you know what I'd love? A Dyson Hoover.
I know. You could whiz it around. One of the whizzy ones, not the...
Yeah, or even the one that you've got. Yeah.
Yes, that's the one.
Can't believe you want that.
Dyson, absolute.
So do you walk around... Do you feel like an adult now?
Yeah, of course. After all, eventually. Yeah, I do, actually. Of course I do.
But do you sometimes... Forget, do you sometimes feel like you're like 20 and then you're like, oh.
Yeah, no, I do forget, because sometimes I look at clothes and I think, oh my God, I love that.
Like what?
Certain clothes.
And yeah, but like what kind of thing?
Like quite floaty, pretty, like long dresses or things. Not that. Low thing. Yeah, no. I've got to act my age. As my friend used
you
to
You don't
say.
Have to act your age. I think that...
No,
your
no, but you should wear... No, it wouldn't suit me anyway, because I'm too thick in the middle. But
she's literally not.
I know. But do you know what I mean? My waist, bust and hips are all the same way. Go straight down. No, but I look at things and think, no, I must dress my age, and then sort of...
But you don't dress your age, because you don't dress like... You dress cool.
No, I know. I do like shoes. I've got a thing about shoes. But no, I just think certain things think, no, I can't wear that now.
I also just think it's really important to just wear whatever you fancy.
I think
life's too short
to
worry about it.
I get my black leather miniskirt out now. No, not I never.
You wouldn't even like a black leather miniskirt. No. I don't even think I like black leather. Not on me anyway.
I used
anyway.
To have a lovely black leather skirt to my knees.
So yeah, I'd like a knee length.
I actually put that.
I've just never been
well.
A fan of a miniskirt.
No,
they don't suit me.
No,
so I've got your body. We have the exact same body shape, don't we?
You go straight down, you mean?
Yeah,
yeah.
Twins.
No waist. No bust.
No.
No hips.
No.
In other words, no nothing.
Nothing but a fab personality.
Absolutely. Yeah, you've got more personality than I have.
No, I don't.
I'm quite quiet, actually.
I'm quite reserved. You are not bloody quiet, and I have your personality. That is how this has happened.
I am really quite reserved.
I am you, just in a few years' time. Aren't I?
I do. You do tell me to stop in shops or talk to people. My friend used
only
to say
because
to me,
when we're don't in talk. A rush, mum, and you're 20 minutes deep into a conversation with the woman in H&M, and we're meant to be somewhere, and you haven't even started buying the clothes or whatever you're doing.
No, I'm not 20 minutes deep, we just end up talking. But my friend used to say to me, sadly, who's not with us anymore, she used to say to me, we're going to go in the shop and I'm going to buy my lipstick on the, what was it, in the Estee Lauder counter. I say, okay, she said, whatever you do, do not talk to the sales assistant, do not engage in conversation. I say, why?
Because, mum, you aren't gone. Do you remember when I was little and I was like, mum, I'm really tired from school, and you're like, I'm just going to pop into the shop. And I was like, please, don't take ages. And she would go into Tesco's for about 3 hours.
No, I wouldn't leave you in the car. I went to
and I'd be in the car and I used to fall asleep. And then you'd drive home and then you'd go in the house and leave me in the car. And I'd wake up so confused. Do you remember?
No, you wouldn't get... This is where we live. Where do we live?
All of the houses, like, because I fall asleep everywhere, don't I?
Yeah. No, but you were safe. You were not like in the middle of the high
no,
street.
No, obviously not, but it was just because I was in the car. Because I wouldn't get up, would I?
No, you wouldn't get out. So I'd say, okay, I'm leaving you, and you'd grunt and go back to sleep, so I'd left you.
And I'd wake up and I'd miss dinner and I'd be so sad.
No, you wouldn't miss dinner. I used to come out all the time and toot you, and then I'd turn the car door, open and shut it, open and shut it, and it would click, and even that wouldn't wake you up. Do you not remember that?
Yeah, I do remember. That's I just love sleeping so much.
I think you do like sleeping.
I think I need more sleep than most people.
Do you know
people.
My thing? The only thing I want in life, actually, that's true. I had a dream the other day. The only thing I really want to do.
And this changes all the time, because you say this all the time.
Sometimes
it's like a car, and then sometimes it's like to move somewhere.
No,
like
the only thing. I always want to move. Okay. No, this is the only thing I've always wanted to do, and I never could. I always thought I did, but I don't. I want to sleep on my back. What? That is not funny. That
what
is,
do you mean?
I just want to be able to go to sleep on my back. Laying on my back.
How do you sleep?
I can't sleep on my back.
So how do you
I
sleep?
Die. On my side, either side, any side, in my tummy sometimes.
How do you know?
Because I've tried it and it doesn't work.
But I don't know how I sleep, because I just wake up and I do things inside out.
If I went to bed and laid on my back and I'd lay there, I think this is so comfortable. And not only that, when you get to my age, you really don't crease one's face. So I'm laying there thinking it's with the most comfortable position. And then, after a while, I think, oh God, I can't sleep like this, because I think when I go to sleep, I think I sort of choke.
You get sleep apnea.
So I think, oh, I'm going to die, so I have to sleep on my side.
You've never told me that before.
Always want to sleep on my back. That's my one main aim in life.
Your goal. Why don't we see if we can get this fixed?
You can't.
I think you get sleep apnea.
Unless you're dead.
Because you know I snore. You know my snore.
Yeah.
And I think that's, yeah, it, I've inherited it from your dad. It sounds like a train is coming from your room and you're asleep.
I'm not, so but that is not, that loud. Is where, whatever.
Yeah, so I think you get this thing called sleep apnea, which is when your airways block up. So I think we need to sort you out. Apparently, if you have a pineapple plant in your room, it stops you snoring.
Shoot.
And they sold them in Asda, but they've sold out now, so I was going to get one.
What do, why? Is it because
you just literally
them?
Put, yeah, put pineapple.
What do they look like, pineapple?
Literally looks like a pineapple growing out of a tree.
Out of a pot.
So it's like a pot with a it looks like a bit of bamboo and then a pineapple.
Oh, okay, I'll buy one.
Yeah. Oh, that is so sad, Mum.
So that is truly, every night I go to bed, I lay that on my back, so I could lay on my back and be really lovely
and you
and
think
happy.
About it and you think that would be so nice.
I just think, this could be me. Eight in the morning, or whatever time I get out, whatever. And it doesn't happen because then after I might just drop to sleep and I think I'd wake up like.
Don't, because I wake myself up because I snore too loudly sometimes. I won't snore for ages and I'll do one really loud one and then go and then wake myself
Frights
up.
Alive, Frights alive. Yeah, so that's my main aim in life. It's honestly, it's so comfortable. Try it.
I sleep on my back.
Oh, do you?
I sleep flat out.
I'm jealous. Emily does too.
I wake up sometimes on my side. But then again, I don't know because I think I move around.
Emily's a silent sleeper.
I wake up and my duvet is completely not where I left it. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas Tiffany, the one in Australia, she is so tidy.
Actually, I went to sleep, wake up this morning, my bed's still made. So I can't have moved. I must have passed out last night.
So tired. Yes, because your sister gave you tulips. This is a new one, listen to this. Her sister gave her a bunch of tulips. I got here and I said, oh, Noni, now where do you, I meant to say to you, you could put the tulips actually in with the daffs. It would be quite funny.
With the daffs?
The daffodils. And I thought, where are they? She said, oh, they're out. Where are they? I don't know where they are. They're there. And I said, where? There. And I said, but where's there? On the table? No. Oh, by the front door? No. In the kitchen? No. I said, Noni, where are they? She said, well, I don't know. I said, you can't. I definitely brought them in. I said, but Noni, they should be in water. I think she took them to bed with her. You took them to bed.
They were in my room, yeah.
On the bed.
In a bag.
In the bed.
In the bed. Like, honestly, this has been so much fun.
You sure?
I'd love to have you back.
Thank you.
We could just do every episode, me and you, get a guest on.
Yes, well, if you feed me whatever that thing was, I love it.
Yeah. Shout out to Muscle Food.
Yeah. Muscle?
Muscle Food. That isn't actually an ad, but I'm just genuinely loved
actually, it. It's so tasty, and it's actually quite spicy, but so nice.
Yeah.
You could become a vegetarian.
A vegan. Thank you so much for listening. Mum, are you going to say bye?
Yes, bye everybody. Thank you for listening.
Do you have anything special you want to say as a little outro?
I'm going home.
What did you say? Okay, bye. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.